This morning, I'd like to be able to encourage you from the letter in the book of Job. Okay? Now, this is one of the hardest books, I think, people find to read and understand, and it's probably one of the oldest book that was written in the scripture. But this morning we would like to see, this is probably my favorite part of the scripture, in which most of what I've learned not only all around, but particularly in this book, because it has so rich lessons that we can learn. And especially if you want to be a preacher, you want to be a pastor or missionary, this is one book you should never miss. It's a wonderful book. But it's not an easy book. It tells you of realities of life, and then it tells you how, by God's strength, you can learn and overcome the many, many obstacles in life, in the ministry. So here, this morning, as we look into the book of Job, chapter 23, Job 23, our text will be from verse 10, okay? 23, verse 10. I'll just read first. There's only one verse there. And it says there in verse 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold." This morning, as we have read that portion of scripture, there will be a question for you to answer this morning. And that question is, where are you going? You know, when you go to a certain place, you always plan your route. You drive, you plan. In Singapore, many of the drivers don't plan. That's the reason why you see them make all kinds of, you know, left turn, right turn, no signal. And they just, I think Singapore drivers are one of the worst in the world. You know, of course, can't beat Indonesia. You know, because Indonesia, every man doeth what seemeth right is in his own eyes, you see. But over here, we are a fine city. If we don't get fined, we don't learn. That's why there are so many fines all over the place. So we plan. And we start at a point, we finish at a point. It's very important to know where we start and where we'll end. In the case of Job, as you read here, that as we see in even chapter 19, verse 25, Job tells us he has a friend. And he has a wonderful friend. One that sticketh closer than a brother, a kinsman redeemer. And a true friend, even though, as we see in the life of Job, the chapters before, that he suffered tremendously. He lost everything. Monetarily, he lost all his properties. And amidst this extreme and absolute poverty, he has this friend. And this wonderful friend is a real property. And he lost his family. If you read the story, how he lost his entire family. But once again, he had this friend, this kinsman redeemer, that he never lost, was with him. And in his time of uncertainties, tremendous pressure on him, he have his wonderful friend. That is certainty. That's why even in Job 19, verse 20, reads, my bone cleave to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. But, I'm sorry, it's in 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. There was great certainty in Job about his Redeemer. He had lost everything that he owns, his family, and so forth. Anything and everything that was precious to him, except one, and that's his Redeemer, his kinsman Redeemer. And so as we read further on in Job 23, verse 10, he begins to struggle. Job was a wonderful fellow. He was a very holy person. He doesn't make all kinds of mistakes. But yet, he had to bear the sufferings of what he experienced. He is a man that escheweth evil, as the Bible said. That means before evil is present, he can sense it and he flee evil. He don't have to wait until evil is at the doorstep. He doesn't like a person dance with evil. Many of us, you know, sometimes we dance along and we play around the edge between good and evil. We do a lot of risky work like that. But for Job, he doesn't do that. He flee evil as soon as he can sense it. And here, after his great sufferings, and after all that he had experienced, here in verse 10 of the 23rd chapter, he says, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He said, the Lord knows. His God knows his way. You know? He knows everything about his way. If Jehovah is God, he followed Jehovah right to the end. So you see here, the question is, like Job said, the Lord knows the way, his way. Do you know your way? Do you know what way you are leading to? Some of you may say, well, Brother E, I'm going to be rich and famous. And so I will work hard at it. Some of you say, I will be, you know, be able to get a good job, get a good family, and live happily ever after. Nothing wrong with it. And many good things you like to do for yourself, for your family. That's your way. And that's the way you treasure. But my friend, do you know that there's one way that we must know and take that way? Do you know that if today you were to die, where would you go? Where would you be? Without any knowledge of Jesus Christ, without any repentance, where would you be? If today you walk out that road and you got hit by a car or something like that, or you stop breathing, what would you do? Where would you go? But God knows, you see. The Lord knows, he knoweth the way that I take. He knows Job's way. My question is, do you know the way? Your way. Is that way leading you to heaven or to hell? Job is confident that God knows his way, even though he had suffered tremendously. Later on, we see how it goes. You know, many years ago, I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I have great plans. I have great plans to get a job, a good job, and build a family and have a house and all the good stuff, you know. During that time, they say it's the 5 C's or something like that. Then I planned that way, and that was my way. But I didn't know that the Lord knew it already and has planned for me. He has planned for me, and that one day, after I have built my dreams here and there, and I return, you know, after my military, they send me overseas to study and to work. And then one day, they decided to start a factory in Singapore, and they sent me back here. And then I was doing well. I was in charge of the factory, and I had a lot of overtime, and I was just happy doing what I was doing. I was able to buy a motorcycle too. That was my dream, you know, to buy a motorcycle. Nowadays, people dream of Maserati and all this kind of stuff. But in those days, I dream of just having a nice motorcycle. So I got a Honda. And that Honda, I love that because it's an engine that as you get warmer, it's stronger and it keeps on going, you know, not like a Suzuki. After a while, it just dies off. So I had all the plans. Then one day, God took me and I was dating my wife, so he took me and to a New Year's Day celebration at a missionary house right behind the his home, in a, like a lawn. And there I heard the gospel for many hundreds of times I've heard before. But that night, New Year's Day, I heard the gospel one more time. And, you know, I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just walked the aisle with my wife-to-be. And she was counselor, and I was counselor, and we trusted in Lord Jesus Christ. 3 months after that, we got baptized because I was not able to baptize immediately. I had to serve my reservist, and so I later on was baptized together with her. And then, not long after that, about a year, I went into full-time service because the Lord called me and told me, you need to go. This way is the way I love you to go. You will become a missionary. And I said, okay. But by that time, I had to, you know, I was still bonded. I had to pay my bonds. So my dear wife, she was in the military, in the Air Force, and she helped me pay the bond, pay everything, and we were broke, but we were happy, because God knew the way, and he showed us the way, and we took the way. Now, of course, that time I was thinking that when, you know, I make the right decision and so forth, you know, everything will be real nice and dandy. Not so. Not so. You see? Reality begins to set in more and more each day. I worked. I preach. I teach. I clean. You know, in the local church. It was a small hired building. And I began to follow what the Lord had told me. You know, one day the missionary had to go back. And then a few of us there, and we began to take responsibility. And it was heavy. It was heavy. My family at that time, my mother and my father, they said, since you want to serve God, then you need, the Lord will feed you. So you have to leave the house. So I left the house. You know, it was only after 1 year that the Lord has spoken to their hearts that they say, you come back. You come back and stay in this house and look after your sister. Make sure that your sister is doing the right thing. So I said, okay. And I came back. And you know, make a long story short, because of what I have heard the Lord leading and guiding me and my wife to be, we took the steps. And it took 12 years before my mother can trust in the Lord, together with my father also. And later my aunt and many others, my friend. I have the privilege to baptize them also and see them trust in the Lord. And then finally to bury them when it's time for me. Because I was not able to bury my mother because at that time I was really broken up. So Pastor Crocker helped me. He was there, right time. So he did it. All this to tell you that the way that God has set for you, He already knows. Even not the way that He wants, but He knows how you think. Even before you do what you do, He already knows. You see? He is all-knowing, all-seeing. I just hope today that some of you that have made the decision to not trust in Him and just go on living and living, may today begin to think properly and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to show you the way, because He's the truth and the life. Are you trusting in Him, or are you trusting in your own self, your own strength? But not by the power of the Holy Spirit, but by your own strength. You know, when we trust in the Lord, just like Job, and He knows the way that we take, that means He knows our outward action, and He knows our inward feelings. He knows what we like, dislike, desires, design, all our imaginations and tendency. He knows not only what we do, but what we would do if we could. He knows not only the surface of our character, but the secret heart and core of it. And that's what Job 23:10 was talking about. But He knoweth the way that I take. He knoweth. Even before we take that, He knoweth. The wrong way we are doing, He knows. And He's trying to woo us to do the right thing. The Lord knows truth. Even sometimes, you know, when we have trusted in the Lord and we are doing the right thing and we have already been baptized and we have been serving God, and then we meet with difficult times. Difficult times, it doesn't mean that God has forgotten us, just like in this case of Job. God has not forgotten him. I remember many years ago when I first, after 5 years working in the church, and I wanted to go to the prepare in the Bible school. And there's a member in our church that was very in favor, suggested it, and even had the funds to send us. But nobody wants to go. You know, some of them said that, well, you know, God can teach you, you don't need to go. But I wanted to go and I volunteered. Why not? Because I know this is what the Lord would have us to do. So I went, and this was to California. I went. And I went to the Bible school, and the Bible school was a good school. But the people was having a difficult time there. They were quarreling. I had some of the best teachers, but even they quarreled among themselves. Some quarreled about the Bible, which version, and this and that version, and so forth, you know. And I got a big headache. I didn't know what to do. Then I wrote back and told the church, you know, and I said, oh, this is happening. And I didn't know that somebody had in Singapore had crept into the church and was feeding the people with information that was not true. So to make a long story short, you know, I was told when I was there that they will not support me anymore. My entire supply was cut off. I had no money. I had no other place. I just about to finish one semester of study. And I just, you know, scratched my head, didn't know what to do. And then I communicate with my wife to be. And she said that people have come to her and told her that Eddie is a heretic and you need to forget all about him. You know? And I said, well, things are getting worse. So, it's a Bible school that used a very old Catholic facility. So they had a very good place to pray, you know. So, what do? I went there and I just pray every day. Because by the time December comes, that's the end. I need to go out. I need to find a place. Because I'm not going to be supported. And that the people were in such a commotion that it makes me kind of doubtful I should stay there. You know what happened? God sent somebody. He was a former hippie. He got saved, had his life cleaned up, and he went to the same Bible school. But before that, after quitting as a hippie, he becomes a lumberjack, very strong guy. You know, today he's a pastor, by the way, one of the church that supports us up in John Day, Oregon. He's pastoring there. But Terry came to me and got to know him, and both of us prayed together. He said, well, why don't we come and pray and see where God will send us? You know, he had a few places that he wanted me to go with him, but I said, I don't know. Let's pray and see how God works. So when December comes, we pack up all our stuff and put into a Toyota Corolla Cruiser. You know, it's an old Jeep. No heater, nothing. It's a Jeep. That's all. We pick up everything, and I got my Only raincoat. I don't have winter clothing because it was California. So the only raincoat I have, and we left. And we traveled north. We traveled north through Oregon, Washington. By that time, the volcano had exploded there in, where is that, in Washington State. What do you call that famous? Yes, Mount St. Helens. It just exploded, so everything looks terrible. We were at the border there, and we traveled with the jeep. Every day what we eat is just milk and bread that we can get. Then we travel up north, and then along the Canadian border, and then if you all know geography, we went over to Montana in the late of winter. We had to put chains on the wheels because we need to go up the mountains. And it was very slippery. And I thought I surely died. I had only raincoat. And the temperature was below zero. You know. And we have no heater in the car except the hot engine air. That's all we had. And then we were just crawling. After which we managed to survive and live. And then we go down, I think, to North or South Dakota after that. And then finally we came to Minneapolis, Minnesota. We had a friend. That friend sent me to Bible school before. His wife lives there in Eden Prairie, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And you know, by the time we got there, my friend was already frozen. And I borrowed his mitten, so I stayed alive a little bit more. But I could not feel anything. I sit next to the fire in the house. I didn't feel anything. And after that, we slept for 1 week. We couldn't wake up. We just slept. You know, I thought I was dead. That was one of my most difficult times. But this word of God always comes and reassures. I'm with you. I know the way that you take. He already told us. He knows the way. He knows the way we take when we hardly know it ourselves. He knows not only the way you have taken and the way you will take, but the way you are now choosing for yourselves. That's the meaning of that small verse there. He knows. He knows also that, you know, in verse 10 there he says, when he had tried me, that means there will be many trials. You will meet trials on the way. It's not going to be just easy going. Some of you may think that, well, you become a Christian and then you follow God and everything's going to be hunky-dory and nice. Sometimes they are mountaintop experience, but most of the time, it's in the valley that we learn the lessons. It's in the valley that we are strengthened. It's in the valley that God puts steel in our boots. You know, your former prime minister and the first Prime Minister, what did he say? They a generation or a population that did not want to be cowed. That means, you know, bullied. And we put steel in their boots. We give them the courage. In this case, God gave us the courage. He put steel in our boots. Remember the very brightest of the saints that have been afflicted? Saints of God. Remember Abraham? It wasn't hunky-dory. He had to travel. He had to suffer. Very, very much. I cannot tell you how today because lack of time. Read for yourself. Then remember Moses. Moses also, before he knew everything else, He had to suffer. Yeah, he had to suffer. There were trials, heavy and many. Remember David in all his affliction. It was not just happy-go-lucky. And remember what Paul says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Where there is life, there will always be changes. There will always be temptations. There will always be difficulties. And there will always be sorrows. You don't like what Brother E tells you this morning. I'm afraid that's what it is. There are mountaintop experiences that God brings us there to encourage us. But we cannot always stay at the mountaintop. We must go down to the valley. That's where we learn. That's where we get stronger and stronger and stronger. Because if your faith is not tested, it is no faith. It must be tested. Then it can be strong. Trials are not evidence of being without God. Many trials come from God. When he had tried me, the verse says, it means simply that many of the trials are from God. You see? When he had tried me, no trouble comes to us without the divine permission of God. God allows it, just like Job. When the devil wants to test Job, God says, okay. But remember, my servant Job, he is faithful. The trials that come to Job were made to be proofs that that patriarch was real and sincere. You see, your faith, if not tested, is not real or sincere. Many of us may say, well, we trusted the Lord, we got baptized, and then what? What's the way? We sit down and warm the seat. We come and go every Sunday. Some of us even come on Wednesdays. But what are we doing for the Lord? What are we doing? Troubles will come and it will end. That's why the scripture says, and when he had tried me, that means there's a limit there. There's a time frame. It's not forever. And when he had tried me, in English it simply means there is a time it stops. And that's the time that we shall come forth as gold. You know, you take the gold nugget, not nugget, sorry, your gold ore, and you look at it, it's ugly and terrible. I forgot I have one at home, actually. I should have brought in. I got it from Irian, you know. And the gold, you can see a little bit here and there. But most of it, you can see is black here and there. And you carry that thing, it's pretty heavy. So how do you get the gold out of that ore? You have to put it and burn it and burn it and burn it until all the impurities, you know, get burned off. You put it in a crucible, you put it in a pot like that, you burn it and burn it until the thing is black. Finally, all the impurities are there. You take a ladle or you take something, instrument, and you move away the black dust. And you'll see your face there. That's how you get gold. And God says, you are just like that. You go through the trials, one after another, the impurities are taken away, and one day, when all's done, you are his goal. If you are not his goal, he won't waste time on you. It's because you are precious in His sight. And that's why He wants to try you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to purify you so that you can be used as an instrument fit for the Master's use. Because you are gold. You know, when I got all these trials and I said, well, I better be a missionary then, huh? So, 1997, me and my family set out to be missionary, you know, to some real mission trip. Because, you know, God called me to be missionary, but all this while, you know, I've been doing the ministry, but not in that capacity. So maybe I said, yeah, all these trials, all these difficulties, I need a breather. So maybe I become a missionary. I can get something. I was wrong. No breather. You go to Irian Jaya, no breather. You get hit by malaria. You know, brother, I have 5 children when I went also. Just like you, so I pray for you. My wife look at you all and reminds her of ourselves. So she yesterday went and buy all kinds of sweets, you know, candies. She felt like your kids need it, you know, need some persuasion, some encouragement. So she got all those things. But yeah, you better watch their teeth because it's not good for the teeth. And we went there, and lo and behold, and the youngest was just like your youngest. Our youngest is now, Faith, how old are you? 20-something, huh? 26, 27, that's our youngest. And when we went to the field, she was just like your youngest. She was still suckling. And that helped her. That's God's plan. Because we were hit by malaria. And at that age, you hit by malaria. Malaria makes you dehydrate very quick. You don't eat, you vomit, and all kinds of stuff. She can't. But she was on the mother's milk. So she survived. You see, God knows the way. He prepared the way. Help us. Many things happen. I can't tell you all of them because they are fantastic. I mean, earthquake almost like every day. You know? And one of the biggest earthquakes, it destroys a whole church building. Erased everything. And also, some of the people got taken away by the flood. And so forth. Many things happen, but trouble will come to an end. Now, my friend, my wife, she came to check for cancer, breast cancer. Instead, they free her from breast cancer, but she's got lupus, the 3rd and the 5th category. That's why you see me always wear a mask. I'm the caregiver. I cannot catch those things from you all. Even a simple cold is going to hurt her pretty bad. We are not lepers, but, you know, we have to take precaution. The doctor says, no, take precaution. That's why this Wednesday, when we get the okay from her, then we can go. All things like this happen, but God knows the way we take, even when we hardly know it ourselves. So, my friend, if you think of it and dwell upon it, what is your way? What way are you taking? Where are you going? If you read in the book Pilgrim's Progress, Christian said, If I sink into the deep mire, where there is no standing, I will go down with my eyes towards the hills, from where cometh my help. He's looking where comes his help is from God. Job in 13:15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And then Queen Esther in Esther chapter 4 verse 15 says, if I perish, if I die, I die for the sake of my people to do the right thing. Do we have that kind of faith? Do we have that kind of confidence? The confidence that is grounded on Lord's knowledge of us. He knows the way we take. Can you today say, I trust in the Lord. And whatever that comes, I know He has allowed it. And I will take it. And I will follow Him. Can you do that? The confidence is grounded on the Lord's knowledge of us. You may decrease in bulk, my friend, just like the ore, but not in bullion, the quality of it, because you are gold. You lose importance, but not innocence. There's nothing for you to worry about, nothing to gain to lose pride. Just follow God. Spiritual afflictions are heavenly promotions. You say, well, Brother E, it's very difficult to do, you know. Well, I can tell you, nothing good comes easy. Nothing good comes easy. You see these fellows going to Thailand? Thailand is pretty nice, you know. But it can change any time. We live now in the days in which anything can happen, anything change all the time, everything. So we don't know. When I came back with my wife and diagnosed with that in February, some of you said, well, Brother E, that's the end. Is that the end? Well, at least you can come back and take a break, you know. You have already given 27 years of your life there, altogether, plus, you know, almost 47 years serving God. Maybe you can come back and kind of take it easy a little bit. I don't think so, my friend. We can't really take it easy. You know, when we take it easy, it's the time we die. You say, oh, that's big talk. No, really. You know, that's the same thing Brother Woolley told me. I said, you go to Japan, Russia. It's a terrible place. It's like Wisconsin where I went to study, you know. It's like Siberia over there. The wind is about 50 miles an hour like that. You know, and below zero all the time when winter comes. It's terrible. But he said, God calls. God calls, I must go. You see? And he went. God honors them. Lord willing, we still got our visas until next year. But we plan to be able, Lord willing, when doctor says okay and we make arrangements for some medical facility to be available for us in emergency, we'll be in Papua. That's what we plan. I told Pastor when Pastor asked me, I know he will surely ask me. I said, our heart's still in Papua. That's how we serve God, my friend. No matter what. We need to do what the Lord tells us to do. He knows the way that we take. He knows every corner everything about it. Even before we do it, He knows it. And the promise is it will not end. It will not end, but there will come a time it will end, and we shall come forth. Let's go. I hope that you know the way that you are taking may be leading you to a Christless eternity. Very honestly, if you do not believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, hell is where you go. But if you have believed and trust in Him, then serve Him with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might. You see, not everybody can go and do the things that others, but you can do what God opens doors for you, even back home here, my friend. The field, lastly, I like to for you to pray that, you know, there are so little people. As it is, there are so little people going to the place that we are in. And more even are not coming. And some of the missions over there said, their young people they don't want to come to such a place. It's a God-forsaken place. But there are souls, my friend. There are still souls for the harvest. There are still villages that are not known. That only when you fly your Cessna and look on the forest, you know, and all the jungle, and if it's kind of dark enough, you'll see some flame and some smoke coming up. That's the people. That's the village. That's the people that was born there naked, and they will die there naked too. And not realize there was a way, the truth, and the life if we don't go. See, my friend, there are so many of them still there like that. And here we are complaining so much about just going over. Some of you, I know you are doing a good job, you know. You say, you know, I wake up in the morning, I open the door, and that's the mission field, you know. So I'm a missionary, my friend. That's a bad joke. You want to know? You got to do it. God called everybody to be a witness. But there are some that God led to go. Out of all their comfort zone and all, everywhere, they go to do the work. You see this young couple. I've seen so many young couples and families have gone and they have gone back because they could not take. Make sure not only God knows the way, you know it's God's way, and you do it. And my friend, it's not going to be easy. It's the right thing to do. And when it is all done, He shall come forth. Let's go. Just wonderful. Go. That's the promise that God has made. And God never lies.